online tool in education is being introduced in Northland to help NCEA students in rural areas where it can be difficult to attract specialist teachers of STEM subjects. STEM Online NZ is a free interactive teaching and learning resource which supports teachers and students of science, technology, engineering and mathematics. The resource has been developed by the University of Auckland, trialled in two Northland schools, and it's now being taken up by others. So far, teachers and students from nine Northland and Far North High schools are taking part, with assistance offered for NCEA Level 1 science and math subjects. Graham Aitken is the Dean of the University of Auckland's Faculty of Education and Social Work, and he is at the helm of the initiative. He says the grand plan is for schools nationwide to engage with the program across levels 1, 2 and 3 NCEA. Professor Aitken is in the Auckland studio to tell us more. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine. Kia ora.
I'm just having a flashback to those old, it was Coles notes and other things that you would desperately resort to the night before. I know that's not quite the same thing, but it can that external resource can make a really big difference. And is that what you've got in mind here?
I have that in mind. I don't have Coles notes in mind. This is not an on-site an online textbook, but it is certainly providing a resource to help young people actually achieve three things in sciences. We want them interested, we want them confident, and we want them successful. And that's what we're aiming to do here. So it is partly a revision resource, but actually more fundamentally, it's a teaching resource.
Also up online, and listeners can see this, radionz.co.nz/9 to noon, the first bit of video we've got up there. These are two Auckland Uni students who are walking the kids through this. So it's not, you know, no offence, but it's not a very, very senior science and math teacher, and actually we know what's happening to their age demographic. It's a big part of the worry is that we don't have enough teachers coming through in these specialties. And I love the second video because it's teaching us physics and it's someone bombing off the top of a bridge. So it's absolutely tailored to appeal to the younger audience.
Completely. You know, we've tried to get relatable, compelling characters, and we've used two University of Auckland students, both of them in actual fact from the north. One from Bay of Islands College, Bodine, one from Kaitaia, Kara, both Māori students, so both readily identifiable to students in the north where we've initially targeted this. You know, it's a fundamental sort of motivation factor that young people can see other successful students who are like themselves, and that's what we're trying to achieve here. And those two appear as avatars throughout the whole of the presentation, telling the story of in the case that you're talking about, Catherine, of physics at level one.
What is the need? And I've already mentioned we know that right around the country there is a lot of pressure on, or schools are under a lot of pressure, trying to find particularly science and maths teachers and technology, actually. I mean, I'm increasingly hearing stories of teachers who are not able to retire, their schools won't let them into their 70s, actually, in one case I know, because of the difficulty in trying to get teachers in these specialties. Is this a big factor, particularly for the rural schools, and is it just the rural schools? Auckland's struggling, isn't it, with the cost of living?
Yes, you're absolutely right, it's a problem of it. Just to give you some sense of the scale of that, we produce at the University of Auckland around about 220 to 240 secondary graduates a year out of our teacher education program. On average, over the last 8 years, we've averaged about 5 for students in physics, and it's been as low as 2 in some years. And that's across 3 or 4 different programs. So the supply is a very difficult thing to bring through. And that's why we've developed this initiative. We know there are teachers in schools with general science backgrounds and other backgrounds that connect to science. But what we haven't had is a high-quality, interactive, engaging, interesting resource that enables those teachers who may not have the depth of background to still teach these subjects in exciting, interesting and successful ways with young people.
Not only that, I'm thinking of the concept of the flipped classroom and new initiatives as well. You can never reinforce enough or present differently the same concepts, can you? Go ahead.
Absolutely not. I mean, we're built into this repetition of concepts. We use a video to introduce the concept that we then have games to reinforce it. We have quizzes to reinforce it. We have online classroom experiments. So you're right, we are trying to build into this resource constant reinforcement of key concepts and key ideas. And I must say the resource for this has come from a combination of the faculties of science, engineering, and also Northcote College, who provided us with two subject specialists, one in physics, Tony Zaloom, and one in mathematics, Peter Radonich, who have been absolutely key to making sure that we've got the concepts that are important for students to be successful in physics and mathematics.
So it's for the students, but equally for the teachers, as you say. And it was interesting talking to the teachers' college that you spend the day, the College of Education educator from Dunedin, again, a specialist in science, and we've been talking for years to him about how many of the primary school teacher trainees are often lacking in the confidence. And when you're not confident or you don't like a subject, it is so hard to project enthusiasm for it. So this is another thing, isn't it? If it's not your main gig or if you're feeling like, you know, you're at the other end of your career age-wise from where your students are, this is a way of staying fresh.
Absolutely. I mean, I was a geography teacher. I might have been able to teach physics, but nothing like in the exciting and interesting way that we're showing in that mechanics standard. First of all, you've got to have the background, and what we're providing with these resources, it is for students, but it is also for teachers. We're providing teachers' notes behind these resources, so the teachers know more than is in the resource, so that they've got background knowledge to work alongside their students. The aim is that students are using the resource, but they're using it with a teacher. We're absolutely not trying to replace teachers. We're trying to complement them, work with them, strengthen them, and therefore increase the number of young people who see physics and mathematics as interesting, exciting, relevant, engaging to their lives.
Well, obviously they've got to pick up anyway, because it was interesting watching the Bombing Master one. There's a point at which the potential energy transfers into something else, and the kinetic energy. I wanted to know that seemed to be a transfer that happened over the whole distance of the bomb, and I was curious as to the exact dynamic by which that happened. So I would have had, I can tell you, two or three questions at the end of that video.
Yeah.
But what it's doing is, especially for a kid who, you know, might not be that into the maths or physics side of things, and I wasn't post a certain age, first they're interested in what's going on, and they can relate to what's going on, and then they can start to ask the questions. It's less daunting than looking at graphs and lines on a page and numbers
Absolutely.
On a page.
And it's actually where you go from that bombing video, actually, is you go out into exercises and activities that help you understand and answer those sort of questions that you're asking, Catherine. And also, as I say, with teacher's notes to help the teacher do that. But the other element of this is that we are also providing online support for students for them to interact with Bodine and Cara to ask them questions. So if that's the way in which they prefer to engage, then they can do that as well.
Right. Oh, wow. They're really working hard, those two.
And they are. They're wonderful young people. I can't say enough positive about what they've contributed.
Almost getting into the peer-to-peer stuff, which we know is very interesting as well. Plus, it's the increasing communication mechanism of social media. It's almost a form of that, isn't it? I can contact you directly and you will talk to me directly. So how come he's at 100% kinetic energy before he hits the water? He's
You're
gone from the height. He's gone from the maximum height to the nearest of hitting the water. Is that what that's about?
Well, he's lost all his potential his gravitational potential energy.
He's run out of road.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Now, you shouldn't be asking a geographer this. You should be asking a physicist.
All right. Where is it at? So you run what might be called a fairly soft trial at one level and in one particular area of physics. Where does it go from here?
Right. So we've got the funding to take it through to develop 14 of these modules, and that will help us address all of the physics and mathematics externally assessed NCEA subjects. We've focused on externals because we know externals are what people need ultimately if they want to come through to university study. And it's also externals because we are not in a position to be able to assess them as a university. So it has to be done through the external system. But that would give us, through a combination of university funding and philanthropic funding, of 14 modules. We aim to develop 34 in total. We're trying to do the same for chemistry, statistics, and digital technologies.
The need, is it particularly acute in Northland? What are the? Did you tell me earlier what the numbers are there for the shortage of specialist teachers?
I don't have the exact numbers, but the shortages are acute, and we started this program in the North for two reasons. One, we had done a lot of work in the North as a university through a program called Starpath, and secondly, I had spoken to Northland principals about whether they would see this as something useful, and most resoundingly, they said yes at that time, and they're still saying yes, that it is useful. So we started it there because we had connection with those schools and we knew it was a resource that would help them. But it will be available to any school in New Zealand for no charge pretty much immediately.
Okay. What are the principals telling you? What has their feedback been?
They're incredibly impressed with the quality of the resource. I mean, these, just to give you some feel for the quality, each of these modules costs us about $150,000 to produce. It's got multiple videos and interactive elements and game elements within it. So as far as quality is concerned, they're very impressed, and they can see, as you've commented and I've certainly seen, it's immediately engaging for the young people in the schools they're working with, because we're using role model people, we're using examples, we've got variety, and it's directly relevant to the New Zealand curriculum. I mean, we did look at external overseas examples of resources that are provided, but we decided this had to speak to New Zealand children in New Zealand context, to New Zealand curriculum.
What are some of the other settings that you used? I think there was a netball video.
Yes, there's netball. That shows two people moving towards a netball at different speeds, so that's a comparison of speeds. We're using waka ama to show illustrations of forces and friction. We're using the wind tunnel that Team New Zealand use. One of the other advantages we've got here is we've got the resources of the university to be able to access to do some of these things as well.
So how are you funding it? Is that where philanthropy comes in as well? Especially if you're going to expand it and take it out over all three levels. You're right, talking in a much bigger bill, aren't you?
Exactly. So we're talking, as I say, at 14 at the moment, which gets us all three levels for maths and physics, 34 if we do the other subjects. It's funded, it's a combination between university funding, university investment, and a philanthropic donor. Beata Schuller, her name is. So that's how we're funding it at the present time, and that will get us through to the end of next year, but we want to go beyond that point. And of course, we also want to be able to upgrade these resources as the subjects develop.
How do schools access the modules? And there may well be a good deal of interest going forward, even more, but how do they actually utilise them?
They do it through the university's online system called Canvas. If schools are listening to this and want to know more, they're more than welcome to contact me. And I'm happy for my contact to be put on the website. So that's probably the way to do it.
You'll talk them through how to access it.
I will make sure they're put in touch with someone to get them connected. And we certainly have had interest from outside the North.
As you said, you did look at overseas initiatives, but ended up developing this one. And what was your motivating force? I mean, what sort of a journey have you been on?
Well, I've been 41 years in education, and as I say, I started as a geography history teacher, so this is very foreign to me. But I'd have to say this is probably one of the most exciting single things I've been engaged with, really. I mean, this is a chance to use the resources of the university, specialist teachers, learning designers who are working with us, media production people, and schools and principals. It's a really exciting, positive initiative, and it's wonderful to be part of something that's so positive in education and has the potential, I think, to transform the way young people think about maths and science.
It's interesting, we're talking about the challenges of this new digital technology curriculum, which is now about to be rolled out starting next year at all levels of schooling. And one of the big challenges of that is the retraining of the existing workforce, the training of those teacher trainees, which, as we said, sometimes there has been we are told, the educators, not enough of them confident in the base subjects that are going to be part of this technology curriculum or that underpin the concepts of it. This is another example of how that can be assisted and continuously upgraded, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is using technology to engage young people and using sophisticated technology to engage young people. Less so about creating, which is part of the new curriculum, but this particular example is how it can be well used to engage people in learning alongside their teacher.
The quality check, though, from that dreaded word, pedagogy, no one has ever been able to define it.
Teaching and learning will do.
Yeah, there you go. But the efficacy of it, efficacy of how it's done. It's a big one, isn't it? Because I'm sure there's tons of resources out there and tons of ways you can go about creating resources, but you need to test and check that it's doing and achieving. Yes. And is that what the university will continue doing?
Indeed. We have another donor who's given us funding to evaluate this program, so it has been evaluated as it is being rolled out. And you're absolutely right. This is not about giving a resource out there to people and hoping they use it well. We've also appointed a Northland coordinator, and she is working between the schools to make sure that any glitches or system or problems they have are immediately fed back to us. So we're continuously improving the resource as we go, and not just handing it out and then distancing ourselves from it.
Graham, thank you. Really appreciate it. Professor Graham Aitken. Details are on our webpage, radionz.co.nz/9 to noon.